Hey, today on the Stick and Hack Show, Mike and I talked to James Poulter, CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation, an incredible organization helping underprivileged kids find the game of golf and teach them the daily life lessons, including their own education. He's an incredible person, incredible organization, and excited to talk to him. Plus, we play Stick or Hack, and we find out Mike's political views.
No, we don't.
Right now on the Stick and Hack Show.
This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
All right, everybody, welcome in. It is the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb. The hack, that's Mike Ryan, the stick. Mike, how are you?
Super duper.
Great. All right, so this show is on the heels of another incredible show we had with Tom Meeks last episode. And James said specifically, our guest, James Poulter, the CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation, said, how am I supposed to follow that? And I said, we're going to do our best to follow that. Tom Meeks was an incredible guest. He had 30 years career, and we're going to be talking today to somebody who has spent years and years and works with somebody who has longer in golf than that. And that's about the man, Chichi Rodriguez. Absolutely. James Poulter is the guest CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation today. And we can't wait to talk to him. The Stick and Hack Show is quite possibly the greatest golf show in the free world from the greatest golf club in the world without the course, presented by twoguyswithballs.com. Used, refurbished, and mostly new golf balls for a fraction of the price. Become a free member of Stick and Hack and get exclusive deals, discounts, and giveaways from great brands like twoguyswithballs.com. Become a member, go to the member perks program on our site, and get the code for discounted golf balls that are already discounted. These are refurbished and mostly new golf balls. Twoguyswithballs.com, proud sponsor of the Member Perks Program and the Stick and Hack Show. Now, Mike, let me ask you this. Would you use a used golf ball?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that doesn't, you're not, one. You like a good golf ball. You like the Titleist Pro V1, I can only assume, correct?
I do.
Right, because of the way that it works for you, right?
Correct.
But you would use a used one if you needed to.
Absolutely.
So,
all the time.
So sticks and hacks both can save money because golf balls are inherently expensive. Yes?
They are.
Okay. And is there any particular reason they're expensive other than we need them for the actual sport and we will pay them for that right to use that ball?
Law of supply and demand, man.
Exactly. So twoguyswithballs.com, we appreciate your support. As I've mentioned, the guest today, James Poulter, and he's the CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation. Chichi Rodriguez, Mike, for my money, And I'll use your money as well, is one of the most popular golfers on the planet, is he not?
Absolutely.
And he didn't really win that much, which is surprising. But he was popular because he was likable, because he Absolutely. Was relatable. He was a real person that came onto the golf scene, and he did things his own way. We've talked about that in shows before. Those golfers that aren't robotic, they have their own personality. And he brought personality to the game. Now, do you remember at all his playing career, even in the seniors in the 80s, or do you just know him because of what he gave golf?
Yeah, I know him mostly when he was playing on the senior tour when I would have been watching him. But, I mean, he was so recognizable just mainly because he had a great personality and he was entertaining and he was so obviously a great person just on and off the golf course that you know, he was just somebody you always looked up to and looked forward to seeing when he was on TV.
What were the two things that he was most famous for as a golfer?
Well, the swashbuckling sword slash, number one.
Right, which is still imitated today by douchebags all across golf courses in America because they think they're being cool.
Yeah.
And you're, oh, no, you can't, you can't do it like Chi-Chi. Yeah, exactly. But he does. Only for birdie putts. Did you know
Correct.
That?
Correct.
He only did that when he made a birdie putt. Yes. So that's probably why you haven't seen me do it very often on a course. So his popularity dating back to the days of the PGA Tour in the early 1960s, when he debuted his sword dance, which was a celebration of birdie putts. Rodriguez later in the late 80s and early 90s became one of the best players on the Champions Tour, and he was famous as the entertainer and shot maker, but he also had a share of wins, especially on the senior tour. He was not a prolific winner, though, on the PGA. And that's what a lot of people probably don't realize. He only had 8 career victories, but he was one of the biggest winners in the first 10 to 15 years of the senior tour with 22 career champion tour victories. Rodriguez, he won no majors, Masters Open, British Open, PGA Championship, on the regular tour, but he did win two senior majors. That was in 1986 and 1987. He was one of the smallest golfers of his era, and maybe in most eras,
yeah.
At 5 foot seven, never more than 130 pounds. That's what I was when I was 7 years old.
I don't even remember the last time I was 130 pounds.
No, I don't either. I think I was born 110. Chichi Rodriguez became one of the game's biggest stars through his showmanship and shot-making skills. He was born in 1935 in Puerto Rico. He grew up poor, and he carved his first golf club from a tree branch, striking balls made of rolled-up tin cans or just plain old rocks. So I asked you earlier, would you play a refurbished golf ball? And you gave it a half second. You said, yeah, I would. This guy played with rocks.
Hey, whatever you got.
I'll repeat that.
Whatever you got.
Rocks. Rolled up 10 cans. His given name is Juan, but he acquired the nickname Chichi early on after a Puerto Rican baseball player named Chichi Flores. Chichi was an excellent boxer and baseball player as a youth, but turned to golf as his game of choice. He began caddying at age 8 and sneaking on the golf course after hours to practice. That story and that biography is told by so many golfers that they started as caddies, they snuck on. That passion, that drive, that love for the game was instant with Chichi. Can you imagine having to sneak onto a course at you know, and playing with rocks that you take from your backyard and going to play? I know you did sneak on courses, as I see your reaction.
I've definitely snuck onto a golf course before.
But can you imagine that as your upbringing?
No, it's amazing. I mean, he's it's one of those stories that – I've heard the story before, and I've always been admired his fortitude and his drive to want to play the game. I mean, it's when you're in growing up in poverty and you just don't have access to the game, and that's honestly one of the, you know, probably one of the problems the game has. And I think that, and we'll talk about it later with James, is that, you know, we're trying to get kids that access.
Right.
And, you know, I just have always admired him for it. So,
well, by age 16, Rodriguez was setting course records. And at 17, he finished second in the Puerto Rican Open. Following a 2-year stint in the U.S. Army, Rodriguez began working at Dorado Beach Resort and came under the tutelage of former PGA Tour pro Pete Cooper. Cooper mentored Chichi's game, and then with financial backing from resort investor Lawrence Rockefeller. I'll say that last name again. Rockefeller. Rich dude.
Slightly.
Rodriguez began playing the PGA Tour in the 1960s, and he quickly became a fan favorite, ball striking, imaginative shot shaping, but largely because of his showmanship. He debuted the sword dance and waving his putter like a sword after making a birdie. He would also drop his straw hat over the hole to keep the ball from escaping.
Love it.
Now he
I don't remember that, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he would take it. He would take the head off, and very ceremoniously, yeah. he would put okay. it on the hole so that it wouldn't pop back out. fans loved it. Some tour pros didn't. Huh? Weird.
Shocking.
Years later, Hale Irwin talked about how Rodriguez spiked up a lot of the greens with the sword dance, and Chichi eventually stopped placing his hat over the hole. The sword dance remained throughout his career. However, once you get that one thing, it'd be hard to let go of that. I bet they sold a lot of tickets. Because
Tiger does the fist pump.
Right.
It's like he's never going to not do that. Right. Although I will say his is kind of just like a natural reaction.
And his is when he makes an 80-foot bomb win a major, and Chichi was so the ball wouldn't escape from the hole.
I love it, though.
Rodriguez's first PGA Tour win happened in the 1963 Denver Open. The next year was probably his best. He won twice, making 64 his only multiple win season, and finished ninth on the money list, his only top 10 finish in the money. And he also had his biggest PGA Tour victory, a one-stroke win over Arnie at the historic Western Open. One of his famous quotes is, "I've heard people say putting is 50% technique and 50% mental. I really believe it is 50% technique and 90% positive thinking. But that adds up to 140%, which is why nobody is 100% sure how to putt." Now, I don't know if that's a Yogi Berra type quote where, you know, he's being... Or if he actually did say that.
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Regardless, I think it's fantastic. Maybe yes. We can go to an expert here, somebody who knows Chichi Rodriguez very well. We bring into the conversation now James Poulter, CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation. James, welcome in to the Stick and Hack Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. Awesome. Thanks for the invite.
Appreciate you being here. So first question right out of the gate is, did Chi-Chi actually say that quote? Because we find it to be perfect.
Yeah, along with many, many others. He's got a lot of good one-liners, man.
Yeah, so there's nobody more loved in the game of golf for as long as he has been. And yet, not you heard the stats. He was only in the top 10 of the money list once in his career. He's only won 8 or so tournaments in the PGA. He won a lot on the senior tour. But he's been around golf for nearly 60 years, and almost 70 years in some cases. There's nobody more loved than him. Why is that?
I mean, just his engagement with the fans, man. He gets how important they are to the tour, to what everybody's doing out there. I mean, as far as his wins go, you have to remember that he was playing with Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and all the greats of golf. So, you know, he really took the Champions Tour to the next level, though. I mean, he understood for the guys to continue their careers and to continue to grow the game, you know, that was an important part. And he took it on. And you know, and I think today, a lot of where we're at today with the Champions Tour and the Senior Tour is because of Chi-Chi.
Yeah, and a lot of people probably don't realize that he was one of the pioneers of the Seniors Tour. And people that had watched him in the 60s and 70s were going out to watch him now, still in the prime of his golf. He was playing and probably better than he had when he was on the PGA. The senior, without his personality, that senior tour is just a bunch of old guys still trying to hang on to their youth and to their sport. He brought that personality, and he always has brought the personality. Is that what makes him so special?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you said it earlier, like, you know, some of the guys on tour are kind of like robots, right? They go through their pre-shot routines and their motion. They don't engage with the crowd. But, you know, he would bring people inside the ropes that he saw. He would walk by and just kind of keep talking to the fans out, watching the tournament. And he just really, really engages the fans. And he remembers them, too. You know, from years past, you know, a lot of the fans will reach out and say, hey, Chi-Chi, I remember you back in the West. And he remembers a lot of that stuff. He's got a great memory.
James, let's talk about the foundation. It's more than a golf nonprofit. It's an education. It's life training. You know, explain to us what it means to you.
It means everything to me. I mean, I've been a part of the foundation now for 17 years. I moved over from England in 2003, and I've been here ever since. So, you know, our main mission is really working with the local Pinellas County school system and working with kids that are academically at risk. So we use the golf course as a living classroom, and we help them get back on track. You know, we have about 90 kids that come to school here every day. It's an elementary and middle school. And we can track them all the way through high school. We offer them scholarships to continue their education. We just want them to be part of society and give them a shot. A lot of times, the kids don't have a chance.
Yeah, that's what's cool about the Chi-Chi Rodriguez Youth Foundation. James Poulter, CEO, is the guest on Stick and Axe Show, is that it's not just a golf camp. It's not a just where you take your kid, you drop them off at 8 a.m. and you pick them up at noon and have them hit a bunch of balls and putt. You guys are actually teaching them not just how to play golf, but how to live, how to be successful, how to be proud of themselves. A lot of them have come from underprivileged and impoverished areas. You're down in the Tampa area in Florida, where you guys have been for a long, long time. How did the foundation start? And Chi-Chi's upbringing obviously has something to do with it. He was in an underprivileged situation and was playing golf with rocks, but he found golf to bring him out of his shell and to bring him, make him a personality, make him famous, make him rich, all of those things. Now he's giving back and has for so many years. What are some of those stories that have stuck with you? What are those kids? You say you track them through their whole process. What are some of those stories that have stuck with you, seeing a kid come into the Youth Foundation day one, and then as they grow up through your program?
Yeah, sure. So we started in 1979, and Chi-Chi actually was in town for the JCPenney Classic that was being played locally. And he met two guys. He met Bob James, who was the founder of Raymond James Financial, and Bill Hayes, who was a local educator. And the three of them got together and started the foundation with $1,000. So originally we were focused on after-school programs and working with kids that had some, you know, trouble with the law and just weren't on a good track. And through the years, we've partnered with the school system and actually partnered with an educational-based program along with golf as a vehicle to teach the kids life skills as well. And it's just worked out really well. I mean, as far as success stories, I mean, you measure that in many different ways. A lot of kids have gone on to have great careers and be successful and be managers and run companies and own companies. But also through golf, we've had kids to go on and go to FSU and get scholarships to play golf at FSU. We have one kid that went through the program, Steve Monroe. He actually does long drive contests. He's the predator on tour on the long drive contests, and he's still around and still supporting the foundation. So many different success stories. And I think to me, one of the most amazing stories was this year with our eighth grade graduation when they left school. This year is obviously a little bit different for people. So we actually went around to everybody's house and dropped them off their graduation gifts. And it was amazing. I mean, very, very emotional. The kids were very, very thankful. Tears, hugs, fist bumps, all kinds of good stuff. But, you know, something like that will stick with me for a long time.
You guys have a partnership with the First Tee. Are you surprised that there aren't more programs such as yours and the First Tee that are trying to get kids who are underprivileged or may not otherwise get exposed to the game of golf? Are you surprised that there aren't more programs out there?
Yeah, it's hard. So golf is a challenging sport for kids to get into. You know, there's definitely some barriers to it. But yeah, you're right. We're the First Tee of Clearwater. So we cover a good portion of Clearwater and North Pinellas County. There are a lot of great chapters through the First Tee throughout the country. We're at about 150 right now. But there's some really good ones. Like if you look at Eastlake, where they did the Tour Championship, they really turned around that neighborhood. If you look over, you know, in Pebble Beach, they have a great chapter over there out in California. They're doing wonderful work as well. So there are pockets of great programs, but there can be more. The challenge is obviously the barriers. You know, golf is frustrating. You know, you've got to practice. You've got to keep going at it. It's time consuming. You know, right now in the world that we live in, it's go, 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 100 miles an hour. And, you know, to play 18 holes of golf could take up half a day. You know, that's valuable to people. And then also it's expensive. You know, I mean, it is a more expensive sport from the golf balls all the way up to, you know, a brand new driver that can cost over $500. So, you know, one of the things that we try and do with the foundation is that we implement some great programs, affordable camps, classes. We even offer that kids play free with a paying adult, but there's no charge for the kids. So that encourages their parents, their grandparents, their friends to come out and play on the course. We recently redesigned the golf course a couple of years ago, renovated it, redid the greens, and we added some forward tees as well for the kids. They're all about 100, 150 yards out. We elevated them as well because I remember as a kid, when I was learning, one of the most frustrating things was getting the ball in the air. And so by elevating the tee boxes a little bit, it helps them get the ball in the air and they'll keep coming, pounding it down the fairway till it gets to the green.
That's a really nice touch.
I love that.
No, I have problems getting the ball in the air as well. Is that what you said? I'll tell you, James, though, you did go through a list of things that that is wrong with golf and that I've spent 15 years trying to convince my wife is not true, which is that it's expensive, it takes forever, and it's time-consuming. But that is the case, that all those things go against what we want our kids to do and why they would get involved in golf. But every story that you hear of that one champion that came out of an impoverished or a not out of a country club. They just found the game and they found the love and the passion for the game always starts the same way, which they played golf with whatever they could find. You find that in the Dominican as well with baseball. And you find that in some of these other third world countries and even in our own, in the United States, there's a lot of areas where kids just don't have the equipment, they don't have the time, they don't have the resources to play golf. How do they find golf if not for a organization like yours?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, one of the things that we do with First Tee is that we work with the school programs and the after-school programs, and we help provide equipment into schools and get the PE teachers trained a little bit so they can basically get a kid hooked on golf. Right. So if a kid picks up a club and they have fun with it, they're going to, oh, that's cool. They're going to go home. They're going to talk about it to their parents. And it's basically an introduction into the game. So I think with our first tee programming, you know, we're impacting thousands of kids throughout the county. That's really the most impactful way that we can get kids new into the game.
I can just hear that conversation with the PE teacher. And they're like, no, but we play dodgeball. Like, no, you're going to play golf today. No.
Right.
No, we're going to hit each other with dodgeballs, and I'm going to sit there and watch the carnage. No? No, you're going to play golf today.
Oh. Or play dodgeball with golf balls. That'd be fun.
So the first time that I took my kids golfing, James, was several years ago. And my wife and I went out to play. And our course is they welcome families. And it's an easy enough course for kids to play. Everything's close. And, you know, it's a really nice experience. We took them out. We took two of them. Got three girls. We took two of the three out because the third's old and didn't want to talk to us and hasn't talked to us in 6 months. So we took the two younger ones with us. And by the third hole, they were chasing each other with the clubs into sand traps and just wanted to drive the cart and had zero interest in actually hitting the ball from here to there. So that was my first experience with golf with my kids. Hopefully you have a more heartwarming story of the first time you saw a kid pick up a golf club, swing it, and go, I'm in love with golf, which, by the way, is what I was expecting from my kids.
I do. So I actually started out as a volunteer here at Chi-Chi's in our after-school program. And one of the things that we got to do was after school, we would take the kids out on the golf course once they did their homework. And yeah, definitely they love going on golf cart rides, right? But to see them make that first putt from a decent distance or get off the tee box, you know, some really cool stories there with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. My kids, my own personal kids, like to come out on the golf course and roll down the hills and stuff. But really, it's just about basically having fun. You know, that's one of the things that I always taught the kids when I was out there was have fun with it, learn, but be respectful. You know, understand what you're doing out there as far as the process for fixing your divots or repairing the pitch marks, raking the bunkers. Make it somewhat educational, but make it fun at the same time. And the kids really enjoyed it. And they really wanted to go out on the course, you know.
Yeah, the golf cart experience is one of those things that does bring the kids out there. For sure. That's a great point about, you know, turning it into little games. And as a golfer, I'm saying, no, you want to hit it from here to there. You want to try to get to the – but instead, maybe I could just be like, hey, can you just hit it from here to that tree and turn it into games in and of itself of each hole to give them something to do? Because if I said, hey, I need you to tee off from 175 out and need you to hit in that hole that's 2.5 inches wide or whatever the hell the dimensions are, I have no idea. That is demoralizing for them because they're going to, I can't hit the ball. What are you talking about? I can't do this. So there are ways to do that. I'm sure you guys do that in your own teachings of, hey, this is just supposed to be fun. And the love for that game that we've all had for years will eventually hit them, or it won't, but at least they have an opportunity to play the game in a fun environment and learn the little things about the game that are helping you as a person down the road. Is that about what I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I remember actually back in the day when I was out coaching with the kids, one time I put on this big Velcro suit and a helmet, and we had tennis balls, and it was a game where it was snag starting new at golf, and you would take these snag clubs and balls, and I would stand there, and the kids would try and hit me with it. But I was teaching them different things about aiming. It was teaching them things about patience and fun. But, yeah, I mean, that's just getting the kids hooked on the game.
I love that. And, you know, Chi-Chi, his attitude, I think, even when he was a professional and on tour, was he always looked like he was having fun out there. And, you know, Chi-Chi's not in the spotlight, the public spotlight as much anymore. But does he still have that sparkle in his eye that he always had?
He does, man. When he comes out to the facility, when we have some events throughout the year and he's here with our donors and supporters, he takes the time, he signs things, he engages. You know, there's a clip out there from last year, I think, at one of the tournaments. We had a videographer out there, and literally one take, he drained like a 25-foot putt, you know. Just walked up. The group was on the putting green getting ready to take that putt, and he just walked up and drained it. And we got it on tape in the first shot. It was amazing. Awesome. But stuff like that, you know, definitely.
Great.
The CEO of the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation, James Poulter, is the guest here of the Stick and Hack program. We are about community and connection at Stick and Hack, and so are you. But why do you think, James, that golf naturally brings those two words together, community and connection? And have you seen that, and did you try to, as CEO and working this organization, is that what you try to do every day, is to connect people to the game, connect people to each other, and to really develop a community of like-minded people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm definitely about community. I get out there a lot and do some networking, and just kind of every day work on it. But one of the things that we do, you know, obviously we're fortunate enough to operate a facility. We host a lot of golf tournaments for other charities as well. So actually we have one this weekend, and it's really beneficial because it's a charity helping a charity. We can give them a great experience at a good price. And all these different charities come out and try and raise money and kind of help each other. So, you know, there's other great organizations out there. We're in the Tampa Bay market. We partner a lot with the Bellspar Championship. That's a huge tour event for us in the area. We're fortunate enough to have a great relationship with those guys. And that really is about community. You're talking community. You know, they donate millions of dollars back to different charities throughout the area. And that's obviously happening all over the country. So golf is a great vehicle for the community. You can still network. You can still do business on the golf course. Deals still get done. But at the end of the day, community is a big part of it as well.
Now, Chichi is still involved, but you have a staff and you have incredible educators. You have incredible people that get up every day and they say, we're going to change a kid's life today. And that is, I don't take that lightly. And I know you don't either. But you guys are truly changing people's lives and kids and families through the game of golf. And if when you say that out loud, that gives you that heartwarming, yeah, and those chills that this is just a sport. This is a sport that annoys and frustrates me to no end. And most Americans and most people, when they start golf, it is extremely frustrating. But these kids see it as an opportunity to do something and to be a part of something bigger than where they came from. And that can't be lost on you on a day-to-day basis.
No, man, it's great. And we do have a wonderful team. And I think one of the things that we have is the culture that we have, the amount of longstanding employees that we have, volunteers. Now, I've been here 17 years. Our pro shop manager has been around here 25 years. You know, we've got key staff members that have been around us a long time. And it's just a good environment. Good environment for the kids, too. It's healthy. It's positive. We try and keep it that way. There's a lot of other things that we can do to engage the kids and just kind of show them another option, another avenue, another vehicle. And golf's a great avenue for that.
Now, we're doing the research here. There's a lot of ex-golfers that get into golf design. They stay in the golf space, right? Much like MLB players and some of these, they stay in the space as either GMs or what have you. Chichi went a different route, and he set up something that is changing lives and that is helping kids. Are you surprised, and this might be a difficult question, but are you surprised that there aren't more golfers, ex-golfers, that are using their power and their influence and their money and their experience to do something more like this as opposed to creating a golf course in the middle of Colorado?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard. I think Chichi learned that at a very early age, right? So he came from not a lot, and he worked at it. So it's all relevant to, you know, what life experiences you've had. And maybe some of these guys haven't had that tough of a life growing up, kind of been handed to them potentially, or they've worked at it and it's just kind of there for them. But it's different with Chichi. He had to work at it really hard to get where he is today.
Final question, James. When do we get to beat Chichi?
Mike, come on. That is rude. That is rude. We're talking about the kids. We're talking about the kids here. How'd this turn in? Yeah, when do we get to meet Chichi?
I'm not good enough. I mean, last name like Poulter in English. I mean, there's a whole other avenue that we can go down with that.
James, honestly, we did a lot of research. We did think you were Ian Poulter until about an hour ago. We did.
Okay, good.
I had a whole other slew of questions.
He did. I didn't.
No, but back to the question at hand here. When do we get to meet Chi-Chi? And when does he want to be on the show?
Great question.
Well, I think we need to get through the next couple months, right. And then we can definitely try to figure that out.
Excellent. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Awesome. James Poulter, CEO of the Chi-Chi Rodriguez Youth Foundation. Honestly, James, just incredible work you guys are doing, continue to do, and to hear those stories and to see those kids come through your program and not just learn golf but learn life is remarkable. And to think it started with $1,000 and a conversation 41 years ago is remarkable. And so congratulations to you guys for all the work you're doing. You're helping the game of golf, you're helping the kids, and there's just nothing better than hearing those stories. So we appreciate your time today and sharing your story as well as the many stories of Chi-Chi, and continued success out there.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, James.
Have a good one.
All right, see you later. There he goes. James Poulter, CEO of the Chi-Chi Rodriguez Youth Foundation and member of Stick and Hack, by the way.
That's right.
So we appreciate his time. It's really cool. You know, those stories of Chi-Chi, I didn't know a lot of that stuff. I knew he was a showman. I knew that he was popular. I had no idea his upbringing. I had no idea that he was his career was started with somebody named Rockefeller. Just the layers that as you unpeel that is really, really cool. And they have truly impacted the game of golf in many ways that a lot of people probably didn't know until this award-winning show, the Stick and Hack Show.
right.
All right. Speaking of Stick and Hack, let's play Stick or Hack, Mike. What do you say?
Absolutely.
All right. So this is Stick or Hack, famous duos. All right. And so the name here is not, are they stick or hack? It's which one is a stick and which one is the hack. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So like this, you're the stick, I'm the hack in golf. And that's where that stops.
Yep.
Right. All right. So, famous duos, stick or hack.
All right.
Bert and Ernie.
Bert's the stick. Ernie's the hack.
100% agree.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Fred and Barney. Fred Flintstone, Barney Rubble.
I'm with you.
Okay. Sorry.
I got it. Fred's the stick and Barney's the hack, I think.
Okay.
I don't know though. They're both
hacks.
They're both pretty hacky.
They're both very hacky.
They both have their moments.
I say no stick on either
one
of them.
No stick. Okay.
They're both hack.
All right. I'm with you on that one.
All right. Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
Dean's the hack. Frank's the stick.
I agree.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go the other way.
No way.
I agree 100%.
Have you seen the roasts that Dean Martin would do and how just like completely sloppy drunk he would be.
Did you ever watch? I go back to YouTube and I watch those. Those are the best.
They are. They're incredible.
I wish I don't like the roast of today. They're funny.
Yeah.
But the roast of today are much different than the roast then.
Yeah.
With Foster Brooks, with Mel Brooks, anybody named Brooks apparently. just incredible. I agree. Dean Martin, a hack. Frank Sinatra, the stick.
Yep.
All right. Tom and Jerry.
Oh. I think Jerry's the stick and Tom's the hack.
I don't know enough about them to make an educated decision. I don't.
So Tom,
I never
cat.
Watched cartoons.
Tom's
as a
the
kid.
Cat. Jerry's the mouse.
Okay. See, that's
and
already information I didn't
Jerry's
realize.
The one that's always like basically making Tom look like a fool. So
Does that hit a little close to home?
For you?
Mario and Luigi.
Oh, man.
Stick or hack? That's the game. Which one's a stick? Which one's the hack? Mario and Luigi.
I think Mario's the stick.
Yeah, and Luigi's hack. I don't know why that's taking you forever.
Well, because I'm trying to remember they had a cartoon, and I was trying to remember the actual personality.
Luigi's a moron.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's what I was having. I was trying to remember.
All right. Well, there you go. Arnie and Jack.
They're both sticks. We're not getting into that. They're both sticks.
Yeah, but it's part of the mentality. All right? Okay. All right. I'm not going to argue
with
you.
They're both sticks.
Simon and Garfunkel. Famous duos. Stick or hack? Simon and Garfunkel. This should take you exactly 0.5 seconds.
Simon's the stick. Garfunkel's
Thank you very much. Couldn't agree more. Sherlock and Watson. Careful here. Careful.
I think Watson's the stick there.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Nice work. Sherlock's the hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. But effective, but still a hack.
Yes.
Watson is a stick. He's understated. He kind of sits in the back
Watson
and he just lets things happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Now, that's the Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law Sherlock Holmes situation I'm dealing with currently.
Sure.
All right, Trump and Biden.
I don't want any part of this.
Go ahead there, big boy.
I don't want any part of that.
Stick or hack?
Nothing. We're
which of that famous duo is a stick and which one's a hack?
Can I say both hack?
Trump and Biden. You can say whatever you want, but we know where you lean.
Hack. They're all hacks. All of them. They're all hacks.
I think the Stick and Hack Show listeners
we're staying away from it.
They want to know what we believe.
No, they don't.
They can't wait to hear it.
No.
Nope. Stick and Hack Show. Quite possibly the greatest golf show in the free world, from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. Go to stickandhack.com and become a free member today for the rest of your life. Presented by Sick Cups. Go to our member perks page to get exclusive deals and discounts from great brands like Sick around the country. Sick Cups, proud sponsor, member perks program, and of the Stick and Hack Show. Mike, proud of you.
Proud of you, man.
Thanks, James Bolter, CEO of the Chi-Chi Rodriguez Youth Foundation, for being on the show. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Peace out, guys.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.